Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this All Saints Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, For All Who Have No Hope. Here's Linda with our scripture reading.
1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, a reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The coming of the Lord. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, and with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As those of you know who plan to join us in person and outdoors in this very hour, today has not gone according to plan. For about a month now, we have been remembering that outdoor concert which we held on October the 4th, when we tested out the live stream. We plugged in the FM transmitter and tested that too. We tried out the individually prepared communion packs, dreaming about finding a way to be together as community when we worship God. For a month now, we planned ahead and we worked out the details, trying to make it possible for folks to worship together once again. After months of waiting for a joyful return to our campus, to this very room, we finally embraced the idea of worshiping outside of our sanctuary as we read the names of our departed saints, the beloved members of this congregation who are no longer with us, but who've gone on to their eternal home. It wouldn't feel like it always did. But we adjusted our expectations, and we placed our hope in the fact that at least we might be able to gather together as a family of faith, outside, yes, but in person all the same. But today's not gone according to plan, has it? Yesterday, when the forecast included a 90% chance of rain, and we began to consider what rain would do not only to an uncovered congregation, but also to a whole host of audio-visual equipment, we realized that we were going to have to adapt the plan and move the whole thing inside. Well, I need to confess something. When I looked at my smartphone yesterday afternoon and saw the weather forecast to see that it held a 90% chance of rain today and heavy rain beginning at exactly 10 o'clock, then I saw that it was followed by 8 complete days of sunshine and beautifully moderate fall temperatures, I began to get a little angry. Really, God, I wanted to say, it has to rain on the one day and pour down at the one hour we had planned to regather for worship outdoors? Really? I needed a fresh perspective, especially if I was going to sit down on a Saturday afternoon and write a sermon on hope. Well, I sat down to write anyway. And as I did, I couldn't help but remember a conversation that I had with one of our saints, one of the saints whose names we read just a moment ago. It was pretty early on in this pandemic, and everybody had just kind of settled in to those stay-at-home orders. We had gotten accustomed to images of overcrowded Italian hospitals flashing up on our TV screens, and churches everywhere were trying to figure out how they were going to survive if they could not meet in person, if they couldn't meet to sing and to pray and to worship, and let's be honest, to pass the plate and take up the offering, we were all terrified. Fear was rampant and it threatened to overcome all of us. So I started calling some of our older members just to check in on them and to see how they were doing at the stay-at-home orders. It was my intention to offer them a word of hope. I thought many of them might be getting a little lonely, a little weary of being locked down apart from family and friends. And so I thought maybe a word from their pastor might lift their spirits. But more often than not, what I found was a congregation willing to offer me stories of resilience, a long-term perspective that gave me the hope I needed to face each day. On this one day in particular, I called Judd Ammons just to say hello. And when I asked how he was doing, he answered the same way he always did, whether I called him or met him at Briggs for breakfast. "You know, I'm just happy," he said. "Happy, happy, happy. My kids are healthy. My grandkids are all doing great and stuff, so I'm happy." I guess he could sense the fear in my voice when I shifted our conversation to the pandemic that was unfolding all around us, because he didn't wait for me to pause before he interjected with a new perspective which moved me from fear to hope. "You know, we've been through all kinds of crazy things before," he said. "And everything always finds a way of working itself out. This will too. It's all going to be okay." It was a word of hope, built on experiences of the past and firmly rooted in a simple faith that insisted whether or not things went according to our plans, God was going to take care of us. Sometimes we all need those simple reminders to shake us out of the present moment and offer us a new perspective. This is exactly what Paul is doing when he writes to the Thessalonian church in the early years after Jesus' ascension. Things were not going according to plan for the Thessalonians. See, they thought that Jesus' return, the one that was going to bring about the end of this world and the beginning of God's eternal kingdom, they thought that was going to happen in their lifetimes. And so they've been hopefully and expectantly waiting for Christ to return any moment now. And as time went on, the people began to grow older, and some of them even died, which ignited all kinds of fear about the afterlife and who would get there and who would get there first and who wouldn't get there. You can almost sense their anxiety coming through the pages as we read this letter. And we hear the Apostle Paul doing his best to assure them with a very detailed eschatology, as we have come to expect from Paul, that basically promises the people it's all going to be okay. But even before he lays out his theological argument, Paul begins with a simple statement, offering a new perspective, pulling the Thessalonians out of their fear and moving them into hope. "Do not be uninformed, sisters and brothers," Paul says, "for we do not grieve as others do, as those who have no hope." In Christ, there is always hope, because if God can raise Jesus from the dead, we have to believe that somehow, in some way, God can save us too from all that threatens to take our joy and our hope and even our very lives. This week, as we enter the 34th week of Pandemic Church, the first day we were going to try to worship outdoors, but it rained. The beginning of a second quarter of a school year that's unlike anything we've ever experienced before. 8 months of isolation and distance from family and friends, and the final stretch of a major national election. We are a people on the brink of losing hope. And it feels like if any one of those things, or any other new thing, doesn't go our way, everything might just fall apart. including our faith. Perhaps at the dawn of a week like this, we all might need a new perspective, one that shifts us from all that we have to fear to all that gives us hope. Encourage one another, Paul writes. Give each other those simple reminders of a faith that is rooted in hope. The saints can remind us of a faith that is rooted in hope. Thinking about this essential shift that is needed from fear to hope, I thought about Howard Thurman, who's, in my book, an unofficial saint of the Christian church. Thurman tells a story about a simple reminder, just like we're talking about today. A simple reminder that he learned from his mother when he was a very, very young boy. He was just 10 years old when Halley's Comet crossed into the solar system. For weeks leading up to it, people had been preparing for the worst. They were afraid. Nobody knew what to expect. There was no Google, no Wikipedia to search for information about how to prepare for comets. There were no YouTube videos showing people how to properly put on their comet-proof clothing. But there were, however, entrepreneurs who were selling anti-comet pills and comet-protecting umbrellas. The theory was, of course, that if you held the umbrella in just the right place or if you took the pills properly, then when the Earth hit the tail of the comet, the person protected by the umbrella or the person who had taken the pills correctly would not be harmed. So we don't think about it this way now, but people back then were afraid that after the comet passed, the Earth would move through the tail, which was full of invisible and lethal gases like hydrogen cyanide. There were public bulletins put out that encouraged people to stay inside their homes, to lock the doors, close the windows, and protect themselves from whatever may come. A lot of people were really genuinely afraid because they did not know what to expect. One night, Thurman remembers being awakened by his mother, who told him to get out of bed and get on her clothes and come with him into the backyard. Facing his fears about whatever might happen, Thurman faithfully joined his mother outside, and he writes these words about that experience. "I shall never forget it as long as I live. My mother stood with me, her hand resting on my shoulder, while I, in utter speechless awe, beheld the great spectacle with its fan of light spreading across the heavens. The silence was like that of absolute motion. Finally, after what seemed to me an interminable time interval, I found my speech. With bated breath, I said, 'Mama, what will happen to us if that comet falls out of the sky?' My mother's silence was so long that I looked from the comet to see her face, where I beheld something in her countenance that I had seen only once before when I entered her room and found her in prayer. When she spoke, she said simply this: 'Nothing will happen to us, Howard. God will take care of us.'" He writes, "Many things I have seen since that night. Times without number, I have learned that life is hard as crucible steel. But as the years have unfolded, the majestic power of my mother's glowing words has come back again and again, beating out its rhythmic chant in my own spirit." Here are the faith and the awareness that overcome fear and transform it into the power to strive, to achieve, and not to yield. That night, as Thurman stood in the back lawn with his mother's hand on his shoulder, something shifted within him. Something shifted that moved him from fear into hope. Something shifted in Thurman that night, and it created room for hope to come and dwell where there was no room before. Hope that God would see him through the struggles that his life brought his way. Hope that even though there seemed to be no way forward, God would always make a way. Hope that would lead Thurman to persevere and to write books that would become the spiritual foundation for the civil rights movement. Books that even Martin Luther King Jr. carried with him every day, right next to his Bible. Something shifted in Thurman that night as he stood outside and stared at the heavens. Something shifted, and he was reminded of the simplest truth, which carved out just enough room for hope. Sisters and brothers, Greystone family, we do not have to be afraid like people who have no hope. Because though life is incredibly hard, in these pandemic days, we must believe that God will indeed take care of us somehow, some way. And on the days when we struggle to believe that for ourselves, all we have to do is to reach out to one another and to remember the stories and the saints from our past who tell us with their whole lives, the long view, that even when the going gets tough, even when nothing seems to work out as planned, even when it rains on our outdoor worship Sunday, the beginning of our faith is the foolishness of the cross and the promise of resurrection, which reminds us that stubborn hope will always make a way. Amen.